Come on, we're talking about leadership. Say this with me. Leadership builds. Leadership builds. What do you want to build? Do you want to build a great life? Do you want to build a great marriage? Do you want to build a great business? Do you want to build a great church? Do you want to build a great department? Whatever you want to build, leadership builds. And in our first session, we talked about influence, stewardship, excellence. Those things build. We talked about having a servant's heart. That builds. We talked about being a worshiper. It's all part of leadership builds. And we want to look at that a little bit closer in this session. Leadership builds. And on your handout that you see here, the first thing is I want to get this straight. Because what I call this the growth mindset. If you want to grow, if you want something to be built, if you want something to increase, it begins with understanding this right here, especially for a church, especially for a servant leader, someone who's in the church. You got to know these three things. Number one, Jesus is the answer for every person. Do y'all know that? Do y'all believe that? Is he a answer or is he the answer? Come on, we're going to be a leader at the Christian church at Minden. We've got to know Jesus is the answer. Second, the Holy Spirit is the answer for the church. There was no church till the Holy Ghost fell. Let me say it again. There was no church until the Holy Ghost fell in Acts the second chapter. Any problem, any question a church has concerning anything, who's got the answer? The Holy Ghost has got the answer. He's our teacher, our guide, our instructor. He shows us things to come. He'll challenge you. He'll inspire you. He's the man. He's the man. Number three, the church is the answer for the world. Church is the answer for the world. I love history. I love charismatic history. I can take you all the way back to Alexander Dowie and just meticulously walk you through the next 100 years. I can talk to you about the Welsh Revival, Benmy, Evan Roberts. We can get over into Azusa. Oh, I tell you all about the life of John G. Lake and Maria Woodsworth Eder and Amy Sipple McPherson and Charles Stanley and Smith Wigglesworth and F.F. Bosworth and William Seymour and the voice of healing era. And here comes William Branham and Jack Coe and A.A. Allen. I know so much about all of their lives and what was going on. And I love charismatic history, but all the people, they're all dead. See, great men and women of God, they come and they go. They live and they die. But the church just keeps on ticking. It's over the last 2,000 years, what's got the job done? The church. Doesn't mean the church is perfect. I mean, there were hundreds of years. There were spots all throughout those 2,000 years where the church, there wasn't much to it. I mean, where the church got off the track. I mean, that where the history of the church is not pretty to look at. But in the church's darkest hour, it still protected the word. And it brought the word. It kept the word safe from generation to generation. And so the church is the answer for the world. Doesn't mean it's perfect. Once again, if you ever find a perfect church, you know what the joke is. Run for your life. If you ever find a perfect church, leave it. Because you're going to screw it up. Huh? That's right. Church isn't perfect, but it's the answer for the world. It's going to outlast us. One day we won't be here anymore. One day there'll be another pastor of this church. And then one day there'll be another pastor. Yeah, but I believe the rapture's coming. Man, I hope the rapture comes tomorrow. But we got to go about our business, come on, multi-generationally. God's not the God of Abraham. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Philip. Come on, Father thinks multi-generational. We need to think multi-generational, and at the same time, and I hope the rapture comes tomorrow, I will be first to go. I would love to go. But we got work to do, and I'm going to be working until I either bust heaven wide open or the rapture comes. The church is the answer for the world. And, you know, I gave you three things that leadership was. Can I just give you three things of what the church is? This isn't in your notes. I want you to write these down. Because, listen, people are complicated, aren't they? Come on, are you complicated? Yes. Ladies, is your husband complicated?
Yes.
Men, is your wife complicated? Yes. People are complicated. Church is not complicated. People are complicated. Church isn't complicated. Church is just three things. It's just three things. Number one, church is spiritual power. Can I get an amen? Spirit, what are you talking about? Well, knowing God as your Father, Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Ghost as your friend. Come on, getting people born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, healed, delivered, blessed. The grace of God, the glory of God. Teaching people how to live by faith, how to walk in love, who they are in Christ. That they're part of that Abrahamic covenant. Divine healing. Oh, I'm talking about spiritual power. Revival. Believing God for an awakening in our country. A visitation. A church, first and foremost, is spiritual power. And every church should be thriving in spiritual power with no apologies. In other words, it should be impossible for anybody to come to this church, walk through those doors, and there's such a corporate anointing in this place that it breaks every yoke of bondage off their life, and they can easily reach out with their faith and receive what Jesus provided for them at Calvary.
Amen.
If it's hard for them to receive what Jesus did at Calvary, then that's the corporate anointing's fault. We got too many watchers and customers in the church and not enough servants and worshipers in the church. Somebody say spiritual power. No apologies. Number two, let's see if you're just as passionate about number two as you were number one. Financial power. The church can't do what God's called the church to do without finances. You can have all the vision in the world, but you're going to need provision for the vision. Everything you see, everything you're sitting on, everything you're enjoying was provided by finances. Finances. Missions. Finances. Come on, do you want to build water wells in other countries? Do you want to take care of orphans in other countries? Do you? Do you want to build Bible schools? Do you want to send missionaries all over the world? Do you want to reach out? Do you want to feed more people at the Joe LeBlanc food pantry? You know what it's going to take to do all of that? Finances. One of the greatest lies Satan's ever perpetrated on the church. This lie came right from the pit of hell was this. That God doesn't want you to have more because it'll destroy you. Satan wants you to have more because it will destroy you. What a lie from the pit of hell. No, the truth is God wants you to have more so you can do more to build the kingdom.
Right.
Satan wants you to have less so you'll do less to build the kingdom. God hadn't called you to be broke and, broke and busted. He's called you to be blessed to be a blessing.
Right.
Somebody say blessed to be a blessing.
Blessed to be a blessing.
Financial power. Listen, money, finances make a horrible master, but they make a wonderful servant. Wonderful servant. And we got to stop being so naive. So naive. A church has got to thrive in spiritual power, and a church has got to thrive in financial power. So, why? A church can do everything God's called it to do. You know what that means? If you're a leader, that means as a leader, you're a tither. Everybody say a tither. That means we're tithers. Leaders and servants and worshipers are tithers. Once again, we don't do it because we have to. Do it because we get to. So we're not afraid of what's going to happen if we don't. We have an excitement because we know what happens when we do. Yeah, Brother Philip, tithing under the law, blah, 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 blah. If tithing under the law got you blessed, how much more will tithing under grace get you blessed? See, when you tithe, you know your best days are ahead. When you don't tithe, you hope your best days are ahead. Here's what happens. When you tithe, God puts His hands on your 90%. But if you don't tithe, your hands are on your 100%. I'll take God's hands on my 90%. more than my hands on my 100 all day. Let me say it this way. I got my beautiful wife here today. I love grabbing food off her plate. Her food tastes better than my food. You know, let me tell you why. Because it's forbidden food. She just doesn't like you to take food off her plate. So therefore, when you eat something off her plate, oh my gosh, it feels so good. Simply because you're not supposed to have it. Right? Right. You're just not supposed to touch it. All right? Well, see, in the garden, there were all these trees, right? There were all these trees. And God comes along and he says, you see all these trees? You can do whatever you want. You can eat whatever you want. You can climb whatever you want. See that tree right over there? Don't eat off that tree. You can eat off every tree, any tree you want. See that tree right over there? Don't touch, eat off that tree. What was the one tree they wanted to eat off of more than any other tree? The one they were not supposed to. Just like I want to eat off Laura's plate, Adam and Eve. They didn't care about a million different types of fruit. What fruit did they want? The one they couldn't have. There's always something you're not supposed to touch. The tithe. The tithe is the tree in the garden, and it's the food on Laura's plate. Don't. Turn to somebody and say, don't touch it. It belongs to God. Spiritual power, no apologies. Financial power, no apologies. As long as your motives are right. And by the way, God knows your motives more than you know your motives. Because if your motives are right, no apologies. If your motives are wrong, and I've seen motives wrong. And you've seen motives wrong. And Pastor Paul has seen motives wrong. And if your motives are wrong, you'll bring a reproach on the gospel. A church will bring reproach on a gospel. But if your motives are right, no apologies. And if there was ever an hour where we need to be operating on all eight cylinders spiritually, it's this hour. Financially, it's this hour. And number three, church is spiritual power, financial power, and a servant's culture. You get those three things right, and there's no devil in hell can stop a church from doing everything God's called a church to do. You say, Brother Philip, is it that simple? Yeah. Is it that easy? Yeah. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. The growth revelation. This right here has been at the core of our ministry since day one. The anointing builds the kingdom. Leadership builds the church. That's been it. I love the anointing. Come on, what we saw this morning. We saw the anointing. All those people that were healed, we saw the anointing. That worship, I love the anointing. It's the power of God, the presence of God, the glory of God. I love the anointing. When the anointing comes, the presence of God, the power of God, the river of God, come on, it just breaks the yoke and it allows people to reach out and receive what Jesus did for them. It builds the kingdom. But listen, leadership builds the church. Leadership builds. Whatever you want built, leadership builds it. Leadership builds it. The anointing builds the kingdom. Leadership builds the church. But here's what we got going on in America right now. We've got churches that are anointing heavy. They're leadership light. They're building the kingdom, but the church hasn't grown in years or maybe decades. They run 30, they run 40, they run 50. And it doesn't matter what they do. 10 people could come in, 10 people will leave. Are they building the kingdom? Yeah. Are they getting people saved? Absolutely. Are they building the kingdom? Are they putting souls in heaven? Yeah, but the church doesn't grow. Why? Well, they're heavy on the anointing, but they're light on leadership. And just because you're putting souls in the kingdom doesn't mean you're keeping people in chairs. Or let me say this, in the body, in the church, right? Which just so happens to be the answer for the, yeah. And then you got other churches. You got churches that are anointing light, but they're leadership heavy. And I mean, you know, you can be an axe murderer and come to that church and sit on the front row and have a good time and find out you're somebody. And after that service is over, you leave. Now, you're still going to go kill people with axes, but you're going to feel better about yourself while you're doing it. Come on, they're anointing light, but they're leadership heavy. Remember, influence heavy, stewardship heavy, excellence heavy, servanthood heavy, and they're running thousands. But just because you're putting people in seats doesn't mean you're putting souls in the kingdom. So I have something written down here. Look what I got written down. The anointing plus little leadership equals little growth. Big leadership plus a little anointing equals big growth. I don't want either one of those. And I know your pastors don't either. Big leadership plus big anointing equals right growth. Isn't that what we want? Right growth? Right growth? Come on, growth that puts a smile on the Father's face. I don't want 50% anointing and 50% leadership. I want 100% anointing and 100% leadership. Come on, the anointing builds the kingdom. Leadership builds the church. I want both. We can have both. I've been in churches and I've seen it. And it's awesome. It's awesome. When you see a church have both. Turning your Bible over to Acts 6. I want you to see something here. Acts the 6th chapter. I want you to see the result, the fruit of leadership in a church. Early church, the book of Acts, verse 1. It says here, "And in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because the widows were neglected in the daily administration." Seems like they were a little heavy on the anointing and not as heavy on leadership. There was some complaining going on. Some people were slipping through the cracks. Then the 12 called the multitude. It's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint." Verse 4, "But we will give ourselves continual prayer to the ministry of the word." One of the greatest miracles in the Bible right here, verse 5. Incredible miracle. Don't know if it's happened since. "And the saying pleased the whole multitude." I don't know. That might have been last time. "And they chose Stephen and some other dudes, whom they set before the apostles," verse 6, "and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them." And look what happened in verse 7. "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly." The anointing builds the kingdom. Leadership builds the church. They didn't have one or the other, did they? They had both. They had spiritual power. Oh my goodness. They had financial power. They had a servant's culture. Come on, leaders were being raised up. Fivefold ministers were being raised up. They had both. It says, let me say it again. Let me put the church in there. "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Minden greatly. And a great company of priests were obedient to the faith." Come on, isn't that what we want? Well, we got to have the anointing and we got to have leadership. Got to have the anointing, got to have leadership. And so I wrote here, look, from those scriptures, look what I wrote here. Everyone is eligible, but not everyone qualifies. Come on, once again, you got to have that servant's heart, don't you? That servant's heart. Come on, that heart of a worshiper. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to know 100 scriptures. It's not about how long you've been born. You got to have that servant's heart. You got to have that heart of a worshiper. There is an anointing for leadership. Notice that they laid hands on them, didn't they? Well, if they prayed and they laid hands on them, there must be an anointing for leadership. Man, I believe God in the days ahead, that anointing is going to increase in this church. And you're going to see more and more and more people serve. More and more people step into leadership, influence, stewardship, excellence. We're gonna see it. Godly leadership produces multiplication. Godly leadership produces multiplication. And that's what we want in this area. And I always want to remind this church, you guys are not a mending church. If you're listening to this by CD, if you're a member of another church, a church is not just a city church. Come on, we're not just here to reach a city. We're here to reach a region. We're here to reach a region. How many of you aren't even from Minden? Come on, you're part of a different community. Raise your hand. Yeah. Come on, in the days ahead, y'all are going to see more and more of that. You're going to see people driving from 30 miles away. Why? Because this church isn't just called to Minden. This church is called to reach Minden, this region, and ultimately what? The world. Can't do it without spiritual power. Can't do it without financial power. And you can't do it if you don't have a servant's culture. Amen? So I wrote here, God placed in you a desire to see His kingdom grow. Now, I say a lot there. I'm saying something, but I'm also saying something by not saying something. God placed in you a desire to see His kingdom grow, but undoubtedly God didn't place something on the inside of many people to see their church grow. Come on, can we just be honest for a moment? Most people don't want their church to grow. They want the kingdom to grow. There's a desire in us to see the kingdom grow. I really believe that if you're a true believer, you love Jesus, you want to see people come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I mean, if you don't, then we need to get our heart right. There's a desire in us to see the kingdom grow, but for a lot of people, they don't. If they were honest, they don't want their church to grow. Why? Because they like their church just the way it is. No, they like their church just the way it is, and I don't really want to go to a church that's too big because they don't know nobody, and I kind of like where I am on the pecking order and on the ladder, and if this church grows, then maybe I won't be as important as I used to be, and then somebody will take my seat, or you know, maybe somebody will come along and they can do something better than I can. I mean, maybe somebody comes along and they can play a guitar better than I can, they can sing better than I can, and then all of a sudden I'm not as important as I used to be. Huh? I kind of like my church just the way it is. And you're talking about two services and three services. And I mean, you know, I don't really know if I'm going to be honest. I don't really know if I want that or not. Because, you know, I kind of like going to church with everybody. And if we do that, then there's people I'm going to know and people I'm not going to know. And I just kind of like my church just the way it is. And I don't really care if a bunch of people in Minden go to hell because the church isn't growing. I don't really care if children or people that are I don't really care if people, you know, don't find Jesus. You know, as long as I'm comfortable. And I kind of, and it's all about me, and I just kind of like the church the way it is. I told you we're going to get our hands dirty. We've got to hand out some wet wipes. God placed in you a desire to see His kingdom grow. And there's some people that want their church to grow. A lot of people don't. But what happens in churches is that is the people that really want their church to grow, they want the kingdom to grow first and foremost, but they want their church to grow, we have prayer meetings. I mean, every church, whether they're growing or they're not growing, they have prayer meetings. And they pray the prayer. Oh, they love the prayer. Y'all all know the prayer. Y'all have prayed the prayer. The prayer has been prayed probably in every charismatic, full gospel, word of faith church and probably in even most denominational churches. Y'all know the prayer because when I start the prayer, you'll finish the prayer. Are y'all ready? We get together and maybe it's in church or there it's in a prayer meeting and we start calling them in from the north, south, east, and west. We call them in. Father, in the name, we just call the people in. From the north, the south, the east, and the west. Father, we call in the lost. We call in the hurting. We call in the divorce. Father, we call them in. Yeah, they're not coming. They're not coming. that's been this growth factor in the God's churches, is that we're going to pray and they're just going to magically appear in the lobby. That's kind of church growth 101 in America. We're going to pray them in. Pray them in from the north, south, east, and the west. And then every once in a while, this is what happens. Somebody walks in the church, and they're like, "Hey, what brought you here?" And you go, and they'll say, "You know, I was just driving by, and I saw you guys, and I just thought I was just going to come in." And you're like, "Really? You have got to come tell that story to Pastor. Pastor, listen to this. Listen. Well, I was just driving by, and I just felt like I needed to come. See, Pastor, we're calling them in from the north, south, east, and the west. We need to pick it up." Imagine the farmer going into the barn. Tomatoes. Cotton, I call you into this barn in Jesus' name. Cotton, come in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Is it coming? Is the cotton coming? Is the tomatoes coming? Are the oranges coming? Is the wheat coming? No, it's going. No, it ain't coming. It ain't coming. Where does that come from anyway? If you look at, I want to show you where it comes from. Turn over to Matthew 9. I'm going to show you where it comes from. I'm fixing to wrap this session up. Matthew 9. Matthew, the ninth chapter. Look down at the very end. Jesus is dealing with the disciples, and he says this in verse 7. He says, "Then he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest." See, there it is, right there. We got to pray for the harvest. No. What does it say? Look at it close. It says, pray that God would send forth laborers into the harvest. We're not supposed to pray that the harvest would come to the church. We're supposed to pray that the church would go to the harvest. Come on, the laborers are called to go to the fields. The fields are not called to come to the laborers. Now, here's what you can do. If we're going, and we're going, and we're going, and we're going, and we're going, right? In other words, that greater door that's out there in that parking lot, don't expect people to come through it unless we're going through it. Did you hear what I just said? How can you have faith for people to come through it if we're not going through it? No, that door is a two-way door, right? Come on. If we're going after the harvest, then we can pray that God will send them in from the north, south, east, and the west. But that prayer becomes the icing on the cupcake, not the cupcake. And for most churches, it's the entire cupcake and kitchen. Because ultimately, we don't want to do nothing except sit around in a room 10 minutes before church and call them in from the north, south, east, and the west, and they magically appear in the lobby. Prayer doesn't, what I wrote here, prayer doesn't produce growth and multiplication. What does? A plan. A plan. A plan produces, and see, that's leadership talk. Leaders have a plan. Come on, the leaders of the youth group have a plan. The leaders of the praise and worship team have a plan. The leaders of every department in this church, they have a plan. Where did they get the plan? Well, the Holy Ghost. Remember, He's the answer for the church. What is the purpose of prayer? The purpose of prayer is to get alone with God and to hear God's voice and allow the Holy Ghost to give us a plan. And then we get out of the prayer, closet and we go implement the plan, and then what do we see? We see growth. But we don't want a plan. Because a plan insinuates I have to do something. And I don't want to have a plan. I don't want to do something. I just want to call them in from the north, south, east, and the west, and they magically appear in the lobby. True prayer produces a vision, a plan, and power. That's what we're after in prayer. The Bible says a church should be a house of prayer. What's the purpose of prayer? A vision, a plan, power. The implementation of a God plan produces multiplication, growth, increase, breakthrough. 30 years old, Laura and I, we're in so much debt. So much debt. We realize one day that if we don't get out of debt and build a storehouse, we're never going to be able to launch out and start Philip Baker Ministries. You can have all the vision in the world if you don't have the provision. Well, I'll just call that money in from the north, south, east, and the west. No, I got along with God and I began to cry out for a plan. Cry out for a plan. God, give me a plan. And God gave me a plan. God gave me a plan. Laura and I realized through that plan four things. That we're blessed because of God's grace, I believe. Our faith, we speak. Stewardship, I plan. And our seed, we give. God gave me a plan. Then He gave us a plan to get out of debt. And when we left Birchfields in 2003, we were completely out of debt and had money in our storehouse to launch out and start our ministry. Where did the plan come from? It came from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has a plan for this church. He's got a plan for every department. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan for your marriage and your finances and your health. But you got to get alone with God, with the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, give me that. Give me that plan. And then get out of the prayer closet and go do the... In order for churches and departments to grow, the vision and the plans must grow. In order to be able to increase the plan, God's wanting to increase the vision and the plan for this church. Do y'all believe that? Well, what's needed then? Quality and quantity leaders. This church doesn't have the leaders it needs to do everything God's called this church to do. And there's no leaders in this church that have arrived yet. So we're all going to have to get better. And we need more leaders to do everything God's called this church to do. Vision, plan, power. So what we're going to do is we're fixing to stand to our feet and we're going to ask God in Jesus' name to give this church a greater. I know this church has got a vision, but God's going to give us a greater. I know this church has a plan. God's going to give this church a greater. I know this church has power. But God's going to give this church greater power. Come on, stand to your feet.